Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney on this featured artist Friday. Grateful Dead is chosen by you, the people. One more hour to go. Anything you want to hear from them, send your request. Pause for text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, getting you ready for the weekend. Ravens joint practice yesterday with Green Bay. John Harbaugh was asked after it, is this going to be the norm, these joint practices?
They might, you know, especially if it goes to two preseason games, for sure, Jerry. Like we said last week, the important thing is who you practice against and the mindset of the two teams going in. These two teams had the right mindset going in, and therefore we got good work in. So I was happy with it, and I believe Matt was happy with it too.
And what he's talking about there, as we discussed earlier in the week, you get these joint practices and you have back-to-back days. Remember back in 18 at one winning drive, the Rams were here. Lamar's rookie year when Joe Flacco was still the starting quarterback, and a lot of the hubbub prior to the practices, which went pretty much, you know, without drama, was Aqib Talib versus Michael Crabtree, because they had had some issues, and the Rams actually wound up going to the Super Bowl that year. But sometimes you see a team back-to-back days, and then the fists are flying. But as John Harbaugh just said there, Nolan, well, he said it yesterday, if preseason games get dropped to two because of an 18-game regular season, maybe this is the norm, and maybe these joint practices and these preseason games do become more of a geographic thing where your preseason schedule is Washington and Philadelphia every year.
Right.
Or the Giants, like, or somebody.
I feel like we've been trending towards this for years now, like you said. I mean, whoever started it once upon a time, if McVay was in on that initial joint practice idea or not, but whoever's idea it was, it's turned out to be a great one, and it's a copycat league, we know that, so it quickly caught on. Absolutely. I think every year you hear the coaches, the players even, praise the joint practices, how they look forward to it. It's given a little more juice to the preseason and training camp in a way that the preseason had kind of made things stale in a lot of ways. I think it's a win-win. The players love it. You get rid of something they don't like, the preseason games, still give them an outlet to actually get better against someone that isn't your own team. I think it's a perfect idea.
I don't think preseason games are ever going to just disappear because the teams still like that revenue that's coming in in a stadium format with the concessions and the parking and everything that goes along with it. And it's an opportunity for some fans who might not have the season ticket access to go to regular season games to get a chance just to go check out football. Maybe not full-on football, but football nonetheless. But joint practices appear to be the wave of the future as long as they can keep the fisticuffs under control. Now, Rashad Bateman, and we've talked about this. You know, it's going to be Andrews and Flowers getting most of the target share. Isaiah Likely, who we're going to hear from in a second. Where does he fit into the equation after a brilliant second half of last season? But Rashad Bateman entering his fourth year, first round draft pick. So John Harbaugh, Rashad Bateman, go ahead there, over there.
You know, he had the one great catch in practice about, what, a week and a half ago, and he landed on the ball, and that was held him out for a few more days, which we were all bummed about. I'm happy with Rashad. He's going to have a great season.
I made a great catch at Patterson Park back in 1986. It was a hell of a diving catch, too, in the snow with only one shoe. What a play it was. But one catch landing on the ball, again, puts him on the shelf a little bit. Call me skeptical that Rashad Bateman has the always exciting breakout season here.
Skeptical that he's even healthy enough to play the full season. Now, to be fair, he did do that last year.
16 games.
Right, having nothing but injury concerns prior. So he was on the field, but as we know, it never translated to any sort of sustained success. You get rid of Odell, he's out of the equation. So seemingly that would bump Bateman up in the hierarchy if he's out there. But I think everything's hinging on them getting Andrews and Likely on the field together. If that's something that they can actually do and it's successful, then yeah, I am not optimistic about Bateman at all. But if they're reluctant to have the two tight end sets, which I don't know why they would be, then maybe it's a better chance for Bateman.
It's 58 Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, NFL Lunch here on this Featured Artist Friday. Here's Isaiah Likely, had the big second half. After Andrews went down, Likely stepped in, and they didn't miss a beat when it came to production from tight end. What aspects of that, Isaiah, are going to carry over to this season?
I say carrying over the confidence. I mean, obviously, like, you want to, you know, hold on to everything that you did good and obviously benefit from the cons that you have. But, I mean, this is a new year. I mean, we're on to bigger goals because obviously, you know, everything didn't pan out the way we wanted to. So, obviously, keeping in mind that obviously what I did last year wasn't enough. So, keeping that in and understand that this is another year to get it done.
All right. I'm optimistic about him. The concern you might have would be how he can be on the field with Andrews at the same time and still be a viable target, where he's just not a decoy, certainly not a blocking tight end, where he can be used more like a wide receiver than a traditional tight end.
I would love for week one, that Thursday night matchup against the Chiefs, first drive of the game for the Ravens, that they come out on the field together. The first play of the game, you got two tight ends showing that set right out the gate, because obviously, first and foremost, neither of those guys are playing in the preseason. Even if they were, is Todd Monken going to show his hand by, you know, unveiling this whole new package in the preseason? No. So the whole time you knew it was going to be something that we had to wait for the regular season on. I just hope that it's something they try early and it's not something that fans are begging for after 2-3 weeks of action.
Now, as we expect Isaiah Likely to take his game to another level in 2024, Isaiah Likely was asked about his one of his teammates and a guy that's expected to have a big year himself. How about Zay Flowers stepping up this year?
Zay's taking off that leadership aspect of the receiver room. I mean, good and bad plays that Zay has, he always tries to embrace to show, you know, the younger guys below him that, you know, don't dwell on the past. I mean, Zay makes so many plays. I mean, he's one of the focal points of our offense, so he knows that for the offense to go, he has to go. So inspiring the younger guys to give 100% every play and show up and show out is definitely a mantra that he's been carrying.
Hey, look, he had a great rookie year. Exceeded a lot of expectations. We remember the fumble in the playoff game, the championship game against Kansas City, and he wants to redeem himself for that. I have zero concerns with Zay Flowers, and the fact, as Isaiah Likely just said, he wants to be a young leader. Go for it, man.
Right. It's kind of funny. A guy in year two can be that leader, but when you look at the state of the wide receiver room, why not? Again, Odell's not there. He would have fit the bill as your prototypical leader as a veteran. Been there, done that, but it's not going to be Bateman. I guess Aguilar's got that veteran status, and the guys seem to respect him and what he brings. But, yeah, you, a lot of times your leader is a guy that actually goes out and leads by example. And if Zay Flowers is your number one, then, yeah, why not?
And then finally, here on this NFL lunch, Daniel Falele met with the media. It looks like he will be, or at least right now, he's the front runner for the starting right guard spot. And Daniel Falele was asked about being in contention for the starting job, if not being the starter.
For me, I just keep my head down each day, keep working, still competing for that spot. And I feel like, I just come to work every day and try to get better at my position. And I don't really think about too far ahead. I just think about each day and how I can get better each day.
Well, again, we go back to Bateman, not optimistic for breakout stuff. Same with Falele on the offensive line. I think Stanley will be fine if he stays healthy, because he says he's as healthy as he's been. Linderbaum's an all-pro. The rest, I don't know. We're going to have to all watch it together. And Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and the rest, they're going to be either the beneficiaries of an improved offensive line, or are going to have to really take their games to different levels.
Yeah, my estimation of Falele as an individual here, this training camp, preseason, I mean, it wasn't high to begin with, but I maintained some hope that he could grab one of the starting jobs, just because there's three up for grabs. And at this point, I can't say anything confident in regards to him. So week one, it'll be a mystery as far as that right guard spot goes.
It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. When we come back, going to talk about the American League East with your American League East report. Look back at yesterday's games. Orioles lose 6-0, but the Yankees, they gain a game on the Orioles. We're getting all of that and more. Updated standings report and tonight's schedule as well. Then Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. We'll preview the college football season with him. The expanded Big Ten. You got a new look SEC. Florida State, right? Number 10, is that an appropriate ranking? Jerry Palm coming up at 1:30 here on The Fan.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
At the AL East, Vinny and Haney.
Time for your American League East report on the Fan. Bob Haney with you here on this Featured Artist Friday. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. The Orioles taking on the Astros. Birds did make a roster move today. Keegan Aiken back from the paternity list. Nick Vespi was optioned for the fifth time. Back to Norfolk. Orioles get shut out last night. 6-0 as Corbin Burns suffers his second consecutive rough outing. Orioles only get three hits against Houston. Spencer Arrighetti and that Astros bullpen. It's third time this week, I believe, the Orioles only got three hits and no home runs to bail them out as well. So the Birds, they lose. They've dropped three out of four. They're a game and a half behind the Yankees. We'll get into these standings here in a couple of minutes. Orioles go with Cade Povich tonight, 1-6 with a 577, but coming off an outstanding performance last Saturday against the Red Sox, a game that unfortunately the Orioles wound up losing. But Cade Povich gets the ball tonight. Hunter Brown, 11-7, 382. We were talking to Jason Bristol earlier this morning from KHOU, Channel 11, in Houston. He said Brown's been one of the best pitchers in baseball here in the second half of the season. So an Orioles offense already challenged, goes up against one of the brighter young arms in the major league. So the Birds scuffle city here in 2024 as we close out almost the month of July, or August rather. As we said, since June 20th, Orioles are 25-30. The woes started against the Astros, who they're 0-4 against. We were talking with Jacob Kalbenmeier last hour. Just there's a number of players scuffling, struggling to get the bat on the ball, and Adley Rutschman is one on. What do you think, Nolan, real quick before we get to the other stuff? I mean, Adley, after a five-hit game in the first game against Houston there on the 21st of June, now barely over 260. Hand, back, backhand, compliments, I don't know. But he's kind of just been an average performer after being very much an all-star worthy candidate in the first half of the season.
Right, and I believe about a month ago, at this point, when he was really, really struggling, you know, he's still batting high in the order. I think even second Hyde still had him penciled in on a daily basis. And we even mentioned it on the show. Would you consider moving him down in the lineup, not just for his own sake, but the entire team's sake? A little bit of a different story now when nobody's hitting. But he, around that same time, it looked like he was coming out of it. It lasted maybe a week or two, and then it was right back to the slump. So I don't know what you do. I mean, a lineup shakeup on Hyde's part here, anything would be accepted here. You got to try something, because what you're doing right now, nothing's working.
A year ago at this time, he was leading off for the Orioles as they were charging their way to the American League's Eastern Division Championship. Anywho, last night, or this happened yesterday, it was actually unfolding as we were on the air. Yankees taking on the Guardians, series finale there, and, well, this has been happening a lot lately.
High fly ball, right field and deep. Brennan back on the track, at the wall, see ya! He's done it again! His 48th home run of the year! High fly ball, deep center. Freeman back, he's on the track, he leaps, that ball's gone! Three-run home run into Monument Park.
That's Yes Network, Michael Kay. Giancarlo Stanton, that was his homer. And then Aaron Judge earlier got the Yankees on the board, his 48th. 6-0. Pinstripers over the first-place Guardians. New York wins that series 2-1. Battle of first-place teams. Out west, it was the A's taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. And a former Oriole prospect had a hand in this one.
Lead, and Darryl, it's a drive down the left field line. That's hooking right down the line in the corner, and Fair turning a second is Neb, and he's going to third. He's going to round third. He'll come to the plate, and the throw to the plate. They've got a shot to get him, but Nevin dives across home plate.
Another former Oriole, Tyler Nevin, scores, but Darryl Hernandez had two doubles, including that ribby yesterday as the A's beat the Rays 3-1. Miller picks up his 20th save of the year as those two teams split a four-game series. The Toronto Blue Jays taking on the Angels last night, and a guy named Ernie did some Ernie stuff.
And a high drive to left field. And this ball is gone. Ernie Clement does it again.
That was Dan Shulman on the call there, Blue Jays Radio. So 5-3 final score, Toronto over the Angels. Today's schedule in the American League East. Well, the Orioles and Astros coming up at 7:05. Colorado is at the Yankees. I forgot all about that. 7:05. Boy. Angels at Blue Jays again, 7:07. Arizona's at Fenway, taking on the Red Sox, two wild card hopefuls. And then the Tampa Bay Rays, they're still sniffing around, but they're out in L.A. taking on the Dodgers. That is 10:10 first pitch time. Standings in Major League Baseball heading into this weekend. Yankees game and a half up on the Orioles. Boston 7 back. Cleveland 2 games up on both the Twins and the Royals. You got Houston 5.5 up on Seattle, who's already fired Scott Service. Dan Wilson taking over there. National League, you got the Phillies 6 up on the Bravos. You got the Brujas 10 games up in the Central over the Cards. And then out West, it is the Dodgers 4 up on the Diamondbacks, 4.5 up on the Padres. Wild Cards, if the playoffs started today, which they do not, Orioles, Twins, and Royals, meaning the Orioles would play the Twins, the Royals would play the Astros, Boston's 3.5 out, then it's Tampa 7, and everyone further back from there. And then in the National League, Arizona, San Diego, and the Braves are the wild cards, which means Arizona would take on San Diego. And then you got the Mets a game and a half behind Atlanta in the National League. So starting to get some clarity, it looks like, with teams separating just a little bit. But there's another month plus left of the season. Orioles better get it together for sure. Still 6.5 ahead of the teams chasing. Number one wild card, only a game and a half out of first, but seem to be trending. They are trending in an opposite direction of awesomeness. 25-30 last 55 games. When we come back, going to talk some college football. Yes. It is that time. Who are the Heisman favorites? What about the playoff expansion? Where does Maryland fit in to the Big Ten? A lot of pessimism out there in College Park. Quarterback hasn't been settled. Offensive line looks shaky. Pick to finish, what, next to last or 12th or whatever it is in the Big Ten. I can't even remember how many teams are in the conference. But Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, College Pick said, whatever, next. Coming up around 6 o'clock, so stay tuned. But college football starts tomorrow, yes, in Dublin, as Florida State takes on Georgia Tech. Maryland opens next Saturday against UConn out there at CQ Stadium. Here to talk about the start of the season, the Heisman Trophy candidates and favorites, at least for now. Maybe some teams overrated as we get ready for kickoff from CBSSports.com. Let's welcome back to the show. I haven't talked to him since the NCAA tournament. He's CBSSports.com's Jerry Palm. Jerry, what's up?
All right. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And let's start with the top 25, or in particular, just say maybe the top 10. Georgia's number one, and rightfully so, I would guess. Ohio State 2, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, across the board there in both polls. And as you look at the top 10, maybe 12, Jerry, in your opinion, who's a little bit overrated and who might not be getting the necessary respect they deserve before we've kicked the ball off yet?
I think maybe Michigan, Notre Dame, possibly Ole Miss, although they've got a really favorable schedule. In fact, it might be too soft to get them in the playoff because the margin for error is going to be pretty small because they're only really got, I think, two good teams on the schedule, or maybe, you know, two teams that can beat them. If they lose both those games, they could be 10-2, and the committee might look at the rest of their schedule and go, I don't, that's probably not a playoff team. I think Michigan's going to struggle this year just to get back to the level, you know, they've been. Now you've got a coaching change, but you've still got some controversy around the program. Obviously, they lost a lot off of that team. I think one team that we should probably look out for is Florida State. They're, I think, 10th That's a team that's coming into this season with like the biggest chip on their shoulder. I don't know how their shoulder pads are going to cover it. That's a team that's got something to say this season. And if they can win the ACC, I don't know if they can win a playoff, but I think they can get to the playoff. And I don't know how many people are on board with that, although the AP would seem to be.
Now, you mentioned Florida State, and we were actually, Nolan and I, Jerry, talking about DJ Uiagalelei, if I mispronounce it. I've only had 5 years to learn his name, and yeah. Clemson and then Oregon State. Now, here again at Florida State, and I guess he might be kind of a dark horse Heisman guy, but at this stage of his career, what is he bringing to the Seminoles, and how is he different from Jordan Travis, who had them undefeated before the horrific injury at the end of the season?
Yeah, well, Travis is more athletic. Not that DJ's not. He's a pretty good athlete, but Travis had a different level of athleticism that made him a weapon with his arm and his legs. DJ won't do as much running as he may have done earlier in his career, but he brings a lot of experience. He's been, you know, at Clemson, where you're usually playing for high stakes. Oregon State, it did pretty well there too. Now that program, unfortunately, is fighting for major status survival. So he's just going to bring a lot of experience and stability to the quarterback position, which is something that all teams need. And he's still, you know, a pretty good player too.
What's the new look SEC? Is Texas and Oklahoma join the fun? We know the Longhorns with Sarkisian have really leveled up here last couple of years, and yours is another one of these Heisman guys. How do they assimilate themselves into a conference that is traditionally loaded, and Georgia looks to be almost unbeatable this year?
Yeah, well, Texas is going to add to the quality at the top of the league, because that's also a very good team. They play each other in the regular season. That game is at Texas. So if Georgia's going to lose during the regular season, that's the most likely game they would lose, would be having to go to Austin and win. In fact, that's one of at least three situations in my preseason projections where I've got a team losing a regular season game and winning a rematch for the conference title. So I've got Georgia winning the SEC but losing at Texas and then getting revenge in the SEC championship game. So that Texas is going to compete on a national scale, at least, you know, this first year in the SEC, and they can probably maintain that. I mean, that just adds to the quality of the top of that league. And then Oklahoma is probably going to struggle early on, but, you know, the Sooners can get back into a really competitive state as well. So we'll have to see what happens there. But Oklahoma is probably not ready to compete for a league title right away, but I wouldn't be surprised if they can get back there in a couple of years.
Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, joining us here. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, featured artist Friday, talking college football, which starts tomorrow in Dublin, Florida State, Georgia Tech. Now the Big Ten, different look as well. Maryland, we're the flagship home of the Terps. I'm 59, full disclosure. When I was 11, they were undefeated, lost in the Cotton Bowl to Houston. Best they could have done, even if they won, they would have finished second behind Pitt. Ralph had some really good teams. Bobby Ross had some really good teams. What about Mike Locksley now, what he can accomplish or trying to, even if the field expands? Is there any hope for us Maryland fans that they could reach some sort of playoff extravaganza to give us hope for a national championship, which has not happened in, what, 70 years, I believe, around these parts?
Yeah, I'm not that optimistic for this Maryland team, sorry to say.
I hear you.
You know, Oregon and USC in particular coming into the league, I'd have put Washington on that conversation too, but then Kalen DeBoer left for Alabama, so there might be a little bit of a rebuild going on at Washington. But the schools that the Big Ten has added are going to add quality to this league, and Oregon can compete like right away for a national title. It's kind of like Texas in the SEC. They're going to come in right away ready to possibly win this league. They get Ohio State at home this year. That's another of the situations I'm talking about. I'm predicting Oregon to win that game and lose to the Buckeyes in the conference title game. But, you know, that's a team that's going to probably be a playoff team, Oregon, if they stay healthy. And it should, I think it's, you know, the thing about these massive conferences is that now you're playing a football season. You're maybe playing half your conference opponents because they're so big. So yeah. Scheduling is going to matter so much for some of these teams. Now, I've got a great example in the Big Ten about that. But, you know, if you get a tough schedule, like Purdue has a tough schedule. I think Wisconsin has a tough schedule. Relatively speaking, in the Big Ten, you know, it can impact your bowl prospects or your playoff prospects, depending on what kind of team you have. Your schedule is going to be, you know, really important now year in and year out because you're playing such a slow percentage of the rest of your league.
Where you see Penn State at this stage with James Franklin? We know he can recruit. We know they can win. I mean, they pull Maryland's pants down every year, but against Ohio State, Michigan, for the most part, it's been a struggle for them. They're really good. A lot of programs like to be where they are, but is it good enough based on the expectations every year in Happy Valley?
Well, probably not, but I think they'll enjoy this season because they've got, speaking of schedules, they get Ohio State at home. They have to go to USC. They're going to be favored every other time they take the field, and home or away. Their road games, other than USC in the league, are Purdue, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And those are three teams that probably are not going to bowl games. So, you know, that's a really favorable schedule, and it puts Penn State in a position where if they can – win one of those two against Ohio State or at USC, they could be a playoff team. Might even be a playoff team if they don't, but it's harder to make the case because the wins won't be of high enough quality. It depends on who their competition is, but if they can get one of those two and finish 11-1, Penn State's got a chance to be a college football playoff team.
All right, Jerry, last thing for you. Your Heisman favorite is heading into the season?
The Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback at Oregon. I think he's going to get a chance to put up some massive numbers there. Oregon's going to be part of the national conversation all season long, especially if he's able to do that. I think he's going to have a huge year, and he'd be my leading candidate for the Heisman.
Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Check out his projections for the playoff field. Go to the website. It is there for you. Jerry, always great to catch up. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
You got it, Jerry Palm, everybody. Not real optimistic about Maryland's chances here in 2024. Neither is Keith Kavanaugh. We'll see. Haven't really gotten a look at Mike Loxley's team. We'll see them next Saturday against UConn down there at CQ Stadium. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2. Then it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Me, Mike Bordick, and Nolan live for Pickles. We start at 6. We'll be there way earlier than that. It is Gunnar Henderson bobblehead night down at Oriole Park, Camden Yards. It's going to be a bleep show, man, in a good way. Nolan, did you develop any sort of appreciation for him over the next last 4 hours or whatever it was?
Well, you have to forgive me. The caller yesterday that was stumping for Grateful Dead, I forget your name. I apologize, but I hope you were listening today because there's your Grateful Dead fix, and we're probably going to go back to not playing them for the majority of the time. But you never know. Here and there, you might hear a song.
So you did not.
Well, no,
I appreciate that.
I came in having no real strong opinion on them, and I'm leaving having no real strong opinion on them.
I mean, hey, look, again, music. Music is all about personal taste and preference and how you're moved by the music, and even the artists themselves will tell you, hey, whatever, however you interpret a song is how you feel about it, even though the songwriter might have a totally different meaning for them. But it is what it is. And if you're cool with the Dead, that's all that matters. Everybody, Orioles made a roster move. Keegan Aiken is back from the paternity list. By the way, congratulations on the new Bambino. Nick Vespi sent back for the fifth time to Norfolk. Kate Povich, he's making the start. Expectations for him tonight against an Astros team that is 4-0 against the Orioles this year.
Yeah, I mean, keep your team in it. Last time out was phenomenal, fantastic. Had really low expectations for him that day, coming back up at a time where, had it not been for injuries, you were even wondering if he would get another shot at all, even in a bullpen role at the major league level. So, seems like he made the most of it last time out. Said that he made some, you know, mental changes to the way he was approaching the outing. So we'll see. it's a great opportunity. If you keep pitching well, you're going to be in this rotation the rest of the way.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, live from Pickles, starts at 6. Me, Nolan, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick will be there earlier than that. Probably get there around 4 or so because we expect a big crowd. Oriole Park at Camden Yards, so stop by, say hello. And as I always say, Nolan, don't come empty-handed. All right, let's go to the fun house.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll get things started here with Bruce in Bel Air, who says, I'd like to see Malik Cunningham make the Ravens 53-man roster. I've always thought that ex-quarterbacks make good receivers because they know how to help the quarterback out as a route runner. They know what he's looking for. Malik can also give us another weapon in the Ravens' arsenal. The end-around pass downfield, perhaps.
Well, can he help you in special teams? That's going to be a key for Malik Cunningham. Did score a touchdown. Didn't he catch a touchdown pass from Lamar? I think it was yesterday in the scrimmage or during training camp earlier this week. Either way, I mean, he's transitioning from QB to that spot. Haven't really had many people project him to be on the 53-man roster. So right now, Texter, your wish to have him on the team doesn't look like it's going to be fulfilled here.
Right. It seems like practice squad at best.
Sure.
Another one here, this one on the Orioles. Texter says, I think it's time for a players-only meeting in the Orioles clubhouse. Who do they have that could lead that meeting and inspire these guys at this point? That was from Bill in Haverty Grace.
Well, I mean, in the story in The Athletic today about Corbin Burns, apparently he is looked up to and he could partake some advice to help you move along. I mean, is players only meeting, do you get into finger pointing and blaming? I mean, is that what it becomes? I mean, this has been a team wide malaise right now. And injuries, they have a built-in excuse for failure. But then again, there's still too much in that lineup on a nightly basis for them to be this weak and anemic with the sticks. And I know the other team's trying, and Allegretti was great, and the kid pitching tonight's been outstanding, Hunter Brown. So they've got their hands full, but they got to start stringing together at-bats and start stringing together wins and got to get it done soon. We're almost done through August here.
Well, speaking of that offensive approach, this texter here says the Orioles' offensive strategy of swing hard or swing harder has made a once scary lineup into a joke. I think it's a Brandon Hyde thing. These guys have zero strategy at the plate other than swing hard. As you can see, Hyde needs to go.
So Hyder, that's a dismissal for Brandon Hyde, the reigning American League Manager of the Year. The lineup's been tinkered with as he's trying to find the hot hand. Gunnar led off for most of the season. Adley was leading off last year. Kowser's been doing it here as of late, even though he's been really cold in the month of August, just trying to push the right buttons to get this thing rolling. Last year, and a caller or texter brought up Aaron Hicks earlier. What a godsend he was off the scrap heap when Mullins got hurt, helping the Orioles win a lot of games. Somebody's got to kind of take the reins. Tony Tater's carried him for a month and a half. You need more than just one guy to get it done. And I don't know. We know who the guys that should be getting it done. The loss of Westberg, let's not underestimate that one. I don't know. I'm just as frustrated and clueless and have no answers as everybody else. I wouldn't fire Brandon Hyde, though. I wouldn't go that far.
And we'll close here with Kenny in Ellicott City, who says the difference between the Orioles and the Astros rebuild, at least so far, is that the Astros started winning and went all in to spend money, traded for Verlander, then extended him, winning World Series in the process. The Orioles can't win on the cheap. They will have to spend at some point.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think we know it. Nolan knows it. You know it. The American people know it. They also traded for Garrett Cole, let's not forget, who left as a free agent to the New York Yankees. So if you're all in, you're all in. That was kind of the Burns trade. And then all your starting pitchers started dropping like flies. Let's not, if Bradish, no, it's ifs, if Bradish and Wells and Means were here with Grayson and Corbin Burns, the Orioles might have the best rotation in the American League. They don't, because they're not. But they're going to have to spend dough. I think we get that and get it in a big way. I don't know if David Rubenstein will, or if Mike Elias will advise him to do so. We shall see, and we'll all find out together. That's it for us for the weekend. I'm off Monday. Cordell will be here at another eye appointment. Hopefully I'll see clearly now on Tuesday when I return. He'll be back on Monday as well. Cut down day in the NFL's next Tuesday, but I'm assuming we'll start hearing some transactions after tomorrow's preseason finale, and also hopefully talking about the Orioles getting themselves together a little bit. For Nolan McGraw, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access is coming up next, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, live from Pickles Pub. Be safe, stay healthy. We'll see you when we see you. For now, class dismissed.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.